things in this world that are not always what they seem. There are also moments in time that we see, hear, and feel things we cannot explain. 32 will explore all of the aspects of what lies beyond our physical world, and maybe, just maybe, get some answers. Until then, we will keep wondering.
Welcome, everybody, to this episode 2 of 32. I'm your host, Jay Hill, with my wonderful other host, Elizabeth Merriquin.
Hello.
So, our first episode was a little bit rough, now we're starting to get a little better at with the recording and stuff. So, new concept. I shouldn't say concept, but it's a new platform that we are using. So, we're pretty excited about that. And if I'm hoping I did it right, that my intros came out okay. So we'll go from there. But, So how are you, Elizabeth?
I'm great. Looking forward to tonight's talk.
Mm-hmm. Just so people know, next week we'll have a guest on next Tuesday. So I'll be doing a promo poster for that for 32. And anybody that wants to listen to any of our other stuff or previous episodes of my shows, you can find us on anywhere you get your podcasts under N Compass Media, which is N apostrophe Compass Media. A lot of people don't quite get that reference, but it's supposed to be Northern Compass, so with an N. So, but somebody took that, and so that's why I did the N apostrophe. Anyways, having said that, our topics, we're talking about past lives and kind of like a some of the things that, go along with like the regression and things with people who have experienced past lives. And there's also, we're also talking about reincarnation. Now, I've read some really great stories on reincarnation. I've seen quite a few videos on reincarnation. They're fascinating to me. I know that there's some connection there. You know, I kind of take it with a grain of salt because I've heard some stories that are pretty, that have later found to be debunked, and which is disheartening. But there are some legitimately accurate and great stories. A lot of those stories that I've been listening to or reading are from stories about children experiencing past lives when they're little. And to be honest with you, I think that is where it's probably most prevalent, is when a child is young and experiencing that. And the concept of that, that the child has it, that concept, that experience, is something that it's fascinating to me. And I don't know, your thoughts on some of the child stories, Elizabeth?
So I think that there's quite a few of them that I've seen. Most of them have been from television shows or just articles in general.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're able to actually go and look at the evidence and identify the people that were involved or find the historical proof,
mm-hmm.
and there being no reason or no way that a child would just know this information,
mm-hmm.
to me, that tells me that there has to be something to it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, there was a couple things that I had looked up and a couple stories. And I was looking on my, it was actually in my email. And let's see if I can't get this up. I don't want full screen.
And I know, I think, so there's an article that I found today, and it was talking about the different symptoms, like, or symptoms or signs
mm-hmm.
that could relate to someone having either past life memories or could be associated with past lives.
Mm-hmm.
And just understanding that all of them likely can be explained. Well, most of them can be explained in psychological, like, you could, if you wanted to, you could debunk a lot of them.
Right.
Just saying that, you know, there's a psychological reason.
The statement is some young children, usually between the age of 2 and 5, speak about memories of previous lives that they claim to live. At the same time, they often show behaviors such as phobias or preferences that are unusual with the context of their particular family and cannot be explained by any current life events. So, yep. Having said that, I mean, it's just fascinating that some of these cases, the one case that I will say that I did research a little bit more was a child had said that it was a male child, and he was probably 5 or 6, but he kept talking about this place that was, I don't know, he was having dreams and nightmares about being in this hotel room or this high rise or something that had caught fire or whatever. And he remembers that he was a female and, you know, this person, you know, this is what they look like. They had dark hair, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And so getting into certain details. Now, a child 5 or 6, getting into certain details down to the clothes or their hair color or even that type of, I don't know, talking about names or whatnot and pictures, and it begs the question of how legitimate are these, you know, claims? And usually when I watch this, actually it was a little bit of a story, but it was also a video to it, and I watched it, and watching some of these kids explain how they felt or what they saw, or, you know, even at their death. And when the child was really, when his parents were asking him questions, he started to get emotional and in talking about, you know, how he died and, you know, what happened and this and that. There's also another story of a child, a male child who was actually in the Marines, supposedly in a previous life, he was in the Marines. And when the time came when his parents were questioning him about this, and they actually had found some pictures of this person that he had mentioned who he was, he gave his first and last name. And so they, you know, what time frame, which was really weird because kids like that don't really know time frames.
Right.
And so they were trying to find out all this information. And once they were able to find the picture, the kid was able to pick out all his buddies that were killed in this picture.
And, yeah, I remember you mentioned that. Yeah, right.
And,
that's really
right. And I was just like, I was blown away. Now, whether you believe in reincarnation or past lives or whatnot, there's some validity to that. I believe a lot of that stuff. I mean, I just think that there are certain things in our life that that we remember and that we kind of we can take with us into our next phase of our life, you know what I mean, of our mm-hmm. journey, so to speak. Yeah. And there's certain things that make up other people, you know what I mean. I don't, well, maybe I think
the question it,
yeah, that's not all the time, but I think that there's sometimes where some of the things that when you transcend into the next life and whatnot, you may or may not pick up things from your previous life that, you know, yeah. you really liked, you know what I mean? Or you hated.
Yeah. So I guess, and then the question then would be like, if it isn't, if past lives and remembering past lives isn't real, then what is it? Like, what, how do you explain
right.
how this child knows all of these details, has never been exposed to it, mm-hmm. and it can name everyone. And the vocabulary that they use is not vocabulary.
A 5 or 6 year old uses it. Right.
Exactly. Like, right, how do right. you explain that?
Right. Well, you know, and some people could actually say too that, you know, it's the parents who are coaching them or doing it, which I've seen, you know, in, mm-hmm. in some aspects. I mean, there is fraudsters out there. There's people that are just looking to either make a buck or, you know, notoriety or whatnot. It is what it is. And it's out there. We understand that. But, you know, me and you being as gifted as we are, and we see these stories and we kind of can read into, you know, what this child or person is saying. Yeah. We can kind of, you know, gauge whether, yeah, this seems a little fishy or this seems pretty legit. And not everybody is able to do that. You know, a lot of people, you know, take people's words for at face value, which is fine, but you know, it's kind of like, you know, reading and watching these videos or reading these stories about these mostly kids who have gone through these traumatic events. There was one girl who, or one child, I think it was a girl, who said that she was a male, but she died at 9/11. And she died in one of the towers. And she named the tower. You know, back then, I mean, there was the North Tower, the South Tower. You know what I mean? So, and it was how they, you know, describing how they died or how they, you know, I think the one kid, I think she said that she jumped out the window or wasn't going to get burned alive, she said, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of skimming through some of these stories and I'm just like, gosh, I'm like, that's traumatic in that sense. Now, a little side jaunt, because for some reason I'm kind of wanting to talk about 9/11 and as scary as that was. I remember that day. Now, I was sleeping on that day. In the morning, and I woke up like gasping for air. I mean, I was like, you know, I was just like, what in the heck? And I felt sick to my stomach, and I felt really just something happened, and I don't know what, and it was driving me nuts. It was a certain type of anxiety. Now, I wasn't quite into my gifts. I knew I had gifts, but I wasn't as active as I am now. You know what I mean? I was just kind of, I don't know what I was doing. I was young, you know. I was, you know, just, I think, what was it, 2011? Or 2001? In 2011, yeah. 2001. And I was 30. Yep. And so I woke up, and first thing I did was I turned on the TV and I sat down, and they were talking, it was the news, and I didn't really watch the news, but for some reason I had it on the news channel, and
for some reason
yeah, and I couldn't, you know, I was like, okay, that's fine, it's just, you know, and I was gonna have coffee or do whatever, and I was just sitting in the chair, and then while they were that the newscasters were talking about, there was an explosion, da 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 da, and then the building rocked, and they just got a report that something, another explosion happened. And that was like, mm-hmm. and it was just like, it was a traumatic event. And to the point where I could feel that, you know what I mean? And I don't know how to describe it, but it was just one of those things where it was an awful feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And
did you have any association with either anyone that was there or anyone on one of the planes?
I don't know. I've never researched that. I've never met anybody that's had any member, family members or friends that have been associated with that I know of or that I can remember. But there was something about it that was just really, really, you know, stressful. And later, when I came in more into my gifts and this and that, I would think about 9/11 quite a bit. And I would think about how much of a tragedy it was. And I remember seeing there were certain mediums that were, you know, giving readings to people that had family members that died in 9/11. And,
right,
you know, they were, you know, communicating this and that. And I'm just like, and I think to myself, I don't know where I would even begin, because there were so many lives that were lost that day.
Have you ever been there?
I have not. Have you?
Yes, okay. I was. I couldn't stay. I overcome with grief. I right. could not.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, it's almost like when I, you know, when you were talking about that you've been there, I envisioned almost like you being in a rock concert or a music concert, and then you were sardined in with a bunch of people. And that, and
yeah.
And that's, I'm sure that's exactly how you felt, was that crowded.
Yeah, there was no one, there was not enough people there for me to feel, because I couldn't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I started panicking. So it was interesting, because when I first walked in, I was fine. As soon as I got down to where the tower actually was, that's when I couldn't, like I was started to panic. And my daughter and her teacher were looking at me and they're like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I had all sorts of crystals on thinking that it would help. I had cleared before I went in, and I was just it was literally like I was being bombarded.
Right. Right. See, and that's another thing too, you know, being at a place where there was a mass amount of death or you know, or a disaster event, a bad event. If I'm ever around something like that, it's almost like somebody taking your spiritual wires and entangling them on purpose. And it's, yeah, everything is just kind of twisted, but it's almost like it's likened to being at a concert where you're surrounded. And that's why now I don't like to really attend concerts, because not that I am claustrophobic, but it's just too much energy or too many frequencies coming at you at once.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know that there's ways to control that, but even the way you and I are in our gifts and how, you know, we operate in that fashion with reality and spirituality, we kind of don't have those safeguards on for reasons, you know what I mean? And I'm more of an open medium, and that's just, I don't like to be closed down. I like to have my mind open, you know, because I've had stuff come into my mind that I don't want in there, mm-hmm, you know? So, so going back a little bit to the past lives thing, I talked about 9/11. I talked about this child experiencing this and that. And now, if you really think about it, to go back to think that what that child had gone through, to relive that, even though that was not,
yeah,
something that he actually lived, but I mean, in a sense, he did, or she did, you know. And so
I guess that kind of leads to the other question of, so. Let's just say reincarnation is real. okay, mm-hmm. and this is, we just do this for example, then is it almost, is it immediately after this person, the human in this plane passes away, that they can then reincarnate? Or is there a certain amount of time that they wait? Or is it by soul? Like they pass on and they go, oh no, I'm going right back. You know, I, that wasn't supposed to happen. I wasn't ready. I didn't do that right. You know?
Right. Are they given that option? That's what I don't know. Or is it something that they signed up for before coming, you know, before being born and saying, okay, you know, this is what I want to do. If something happens where I make a choice and I die suddenly, I want to come back immediately. You know what I mean? Right. I mean, so that's another question that I, you know, and I'm kind of reluctant to mention this, but I will, because I'm still unclear about the specifics. Last night I had a dream that I actually was dead, that I died, but I didn't recognize anybody that were around me. I saw, and it was weird because I saw two sides, the good side and the dark side, and I could see what was on the dark side, and that was kind of freaky as it was. But I was me, but I wasn't myself. I don't think I was Michelle. I was more me than anything. You know what I mean? I could like, really? Is this really me? You know what I mean? So I was reluctant to think that I was anybody else but myself, because I was seeing myself. You know what I mean? When you look out through your eyes, you know exactly what you look like. You know exactly, you know, your hands, your feet, all that stuff. And that's the way I felt. But a little sliver that made me think that I was somebody else, but I was portraying myself strongly or through this person. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I don't remember the full details of what it was, but there was a lot of confusion and a lot of different people that I never recognized. And it happened so quickly. And it was just, but I knew I was dead. I knew it. I mean, it was like the first thing that I realized, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm like,
So were there emotions towards you, or I don't know if you know this, but were there emotions towards you, one of someone they loved or just random people?
Random people, but the negative, on the dark side of it, they knew who I was. And that was kind of freaky. There was one entity in the dark that wasn't very nice. And then I would call it like a trickster or a prankster. You know what I mean? Those low level entities, you know, that were never humans, you know, but he knew who I was, but I don't think he knew who I was. The person I was, you know, sitting in for, he knew, or it knew, you know?
Yeah.
So it was really weird, but I just,
so was he happy that you were gone, or was he watching you like he knew you?
He was just watching. It was just watching, but it
no
was like,
emotion.
but this person was gone. This person was dead. This person was not alive anymore. I was just a sitting to see through his eyes what it was. And it was just, I don't know. It was almost like he was reliving his life review. That's the best way to describe it, because everything happened so fast and it was so confusing. I'm like, what am I watching here?
Yeah. So I've heard that's kind of what hell is like. That hell is literally just reliving. Yeah.
Right. You know, so that begs the question also is, why do I have dreams like that? And that's another thing I'm going to be referencing on Paranormal Memoirs, which is the next episode will be out soon, but I'm going to be specifically talking about my dreams and my dream state of being somebody else and experiencing their death and all this other stuff and who they were and whatnot. I mean, I could write a book on all the dreams I've had of being somebody else, you know, But
well, the article that I read was by Stephen Wagner in it's liveabouts.com or liveabouts.com. Mm-hmm. One of the signs of experiencing that past life is dreams and nightmares, where people who regularly inhabit your dream, whether you don't know, it's like mundane stuff, or mm-hmm. nightmares that reflect that trauma. So mm-hmm. if for you that trauma is actually being dead and seeing both the good and the dark, mm-hmm. or the light and the dark, then it could also be if you think psychologically, I'm not a psychologist, but I've taken a couple courses just enough to be dangerous,
right?
Could it be because you were preparing to do this, and so it was almost like your subconscious was saying, okay, I'm going to show you this
mm-hmm,
so that
mm-hmm.
you think about it and process it.
So and another theory that I thought I had was about that dream I had last night. It's because, not that I fear death, I just, the only thing that I fear about dying is not completing what I need to complete. You know what I mean? That's my biggest fear. It's not about death itself. It's just about not being able to finish what it is that I want to finish. I don't know. But I know I'm not ready yet because I've got something to finish. You know what I mean? So, so that is more of a, and I wondered if because of the fact that I was thinking about that, and I think about that all the time, that my subconscious made that scenario up. So, and I do think that it could be, a possibility. It's just interpreting a dream differently. You know what I mean? So I kind of weigh that out, and I'm like, I'll take it with a grain of salt. You know, it could have been something weird, could have been something my subconscious was.
Yeah, the only thing about that is I am a firm believer that when people remember details in their dreams, it means something. So yes, I can say psychologically this and that. I just don't think that people remember all of those details unless there's a reason.
Right. Yeah. There was the one dream I had of being... Now, this, to me, this was legit. Because I had actually visual evidence to support this dream, this vision I had. I was in a farmhouse, and it was out in the country, and what back then that we called them G-men, which was the FBI back in the day, which was when Prohibition was going on. So 1920s and 30s, I was, evidently I was not such a great person. And I remember what I looked like. I had dark hair. I was skinny. I was, kind of short. I wasn't very, very tall. But I was also, I had a big chip on my shoulder and I had an attitude. And I could feel that that's who I was. And in that dream I had was basically running out the back door of this farmhouse with all these G-men who had guns pointed at me and police pointed at me. And I took out a snub nose and I started firing at them. And then they lit me up like a Christmas tree. And all I could feel was pressure. Every bullet that hit me was severe pressure, not pain. Just pressure, like somebody was sticking their fingers in my chest and in my belly, and that's what it felt like. And then all of a sudden things got hazy, and then I went face down and I blacked, and everything went black, and then I woke up. Now, the best
when
part,
was that?
This
was that a long time ago?
That was last year. Last year.
Oh wow!
It was like a year and a half ago. So, I was talking with, I wasn't even talking to anybody about this yet, but I was talking with my buddy Josh, who used to be kind of like my camera guy on when I used to have that paranormal team. And I still talk to him quite a bit, and he lives about 45 minutes from me. And he says, "Hey, let me ask you a question." I said, okay, sometimes when I get random texts like that from him, and I'm like, yeah, sure. He's like, because he was working at that time, he was working with another paranormal team who they were trying to do a pilot for a TV show, and they had Jack Osborne involved, and they were trying to get, I don't know, some like Discovery Channel or somebody like that. And so he wrote, or my friend Josh basically did the, he did all the video stuff and all the promo for it and the trip deck, and I think that's what it was called. But the pitch deck is what it's called. It's when you make all this stuff and you submit it to a network and this and that. Okay. So he did all that, right? So he was saying that these guys with this team, because they're all about history and locations, and that they were thinking about buying a location that was supposedly haunted. And so he says, and he would randomly send me pictures of things where I could, you know, read them within a matter of seconds and say, yeah, this is what's here, this is what's here. So I said, yeah, sure, go ahead. So he sent me the picture, and lo and behold, it was the picture that I ran out. It was the house that I ran out of.
Cool.
Yeah. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I'm looking at
this picture. There are no coincidences. Oh, my gosh.
So I'm looking at this picture, and they had different, because it was for sale. And so I'm looking at all these pictures has the land. Now, in my dream, there were trees that weren't very tall, and then there was a couple red barns in the back, and there was a really big, like a maple tree or something like that, and there was a fence line around. In these pictures, the smaller trees were big, the big tree was gone, the barns in the back were, I think, one of them was either gone or dilapidated or something, but it wasn't. They were still red. The house was white. And the little trees that were on the side of the house by the fence line, because it was a white picket fence type thing, they were huge now. And I was like, and it had kind of a wraparound drive that it was unreal. And I knew what the inside looked like too. Yeah. Where the kitchen was, where the coat room was, all the whole nine yards. And I was like, oh my gosh. And this was in Illinois, Kansasville, Illinois, I think it was, which is not too far from me. Okay. Yeah. And so I was just like, and I couldn't believe it. So they were looking at buying this house that was for sale. Now, I don't know if it's still for sale.
Yeah.
But, and he never really mentioned anything else about that. But for him to send me a picture of that.
Yeah.
And I knew, and I was sitting in my car.
Did you have deja vu? Deja vu at all?
No, I did not have deja vu. And I hate deja vu, because when I get deja vu, I get really, like, I have a major anxiety attack.
Really?
Yes. Since after my stroke in 2011 or 13, every time that I have deja vu, it really fucks with my brain. I mean,
yeah,
like I don't know where I'm at. I don't, you know, I get anxiety. I, you know, it just, it messes with me. And so I'm very glad that I don't get deja vu hardly at all. And then usually sometimes if I do get deja vu and I catch it early enough that I know that things are going to happen a certain way, I have to stop and take a breath and then just, you know what I mean? And even then that doesn't help, because it's almost like, yeah, I've already done that. How many times or how many different ways can you thwart a deja vu? It means that basically you've done that 1,000 different ways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just weird. So that picture was really cool, but
yeah, deja vu. It actually, like, to me, that really fascinates me too. I mean, I don't like getting it either. But it's okay. So is this different dimensions or different planes where I've done this? Is it really the same situation and just different? Or, you know, like you already know what they're going to say. So can mm-hmm. you do something different? It's just right. Deja vu just fascinates me in its own.
Deja vu pisses me off. It really does.
I don't like it. It sucks. I hate it. Mm-hmm. Still makes me curious.
Yeah. But, you know, so that was just one of the experiences that I've had. I mean, I've had other dreams, but that I'm going to save the rest of those for the paranormal memoirs. But that one story was still pretty freaking intense. And yeah, Josh couldn't believe it. I said, I've already dreamt about this place, man. I mean, if I would have done a deep dive history of it, I would have been able to know who that guy was, right. who ran out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
in your dream, you didn't have a name. Didn't.
No, yeah. I didn't.
Yeah.
And I know that they were calling me out, but I don't. I just basically came into that body right as I ran out the door. I could hear him. You know what I mean? It was like me standing behind this gentleman and like, what am I doing here? And then get thrusted into this gentleman in a way where, like, kind of like possessing him in a sense.
Yeah.
But I wasn't. I was just along for the ride is all I was. You know? Yeah. And I think to myself, how often does that happen to other people? You know, I'm curious if people have great stories about this and want to be on the show and want to talk about, you know, that type of stuff where you have these dreams and, or even the reincarnation ones, you know, I mean, anything like that, you know, we try to.
So what do you think about, about regressions? Like when people have these regressions, do you think that there's something to that? Or do you think that it's just your brain making stuff up?
I think it's 50-50 or 70-30.
Yeah.
I think it's 70, your brain's making it up. Or I think your brain is some type of, you know, some type of trauma or something. It's hard to say. It really is.
Yeah.
Because there are so many questions. I mean, and that's what 32 tries to do is that whole thing is the proverbial question is what's on the other side, you know, what is on that spiritual side that we all experience, because there's so many different facets of that spirituality and spiritualism. You know, it's not just ghost hunting, it's not just seances, it's not just mediumship, there's so many different elements to spiritualism and who are spiritual in that sense and use their gifts for good and whatnot.
I really think that journey, you know, it's just like, for example, like if I'm afraid of something or I have this deep fear of something and then it comes out in my mind, in my consciousness, that it's because of a past life, that's going to affect my journey in this life. That's going to affect my path and my growth.
Right.
So if I can overcome that, or if I'm even here on this earth to overcome that and then to help other people overcome that same thing, that then has become part of 32 and part of your spiritual path.
Right. You know, right. And I do believe that, just, you know, even the, you know, having, you know, doing this show called 32, and it's not so much just about the number, it's about your journey. You know, your aspect of your journey and what your future holds for you in a sense, and what paths that you've taken or what has led you where you are. And, you know, can you count how many times that you made a bad choice compared to a good choice or a positive? You know what I mean? So everything kind of weighs, you know what I mean? And it's just really. And that's why I wanted to do this show, because the simple fact that there's so many different aspects to this topics.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we could talk for hours on so many different topics about spiritualism, you know, and I really like I want to dive more deep into the the spiritualism movement, you know, back in 1902 or 6, I think it was. And, you know, they had all these, you know, people, you know, who did seances and all that stuff. And even Houdini's wife, who tried to do all those, you know, seances to try to, because he even said, he said, yeah, you, if I die, you can try to contact me and this and that. And it's like, and it's funny because Houdini was the master manipulator of the truth.
Yeah.
In that sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because everything was a trick for him.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. It's how do you get by? Mm-hmm. One of the things that fascinates me about that is how secretive people had to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you went from, didn't matter if you had gifts or not. And, you know, women specifically, if you had these gifts and you weren't fortunate enough to be able to be in a society where it was accepted, you had to hide it.
Oh yeah.
And then you go from that to seances, and then seances with, oh, you have to do this in secret. And now it's everywhere. You know, you drive down the street and you see signs and symptoms. And I'm thankful that, I mean, I may have had past lives that where I wasn't allowed to do that. And maybe that's why I chose to be here now. Because I still have people that are like, oh, you're crazy. You think you talk to spirits, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, how else do you explain it? Because there's information that I know that I wouldn't otherwise know.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I don't normally feel like I have to hide, you know? Mm-hmm. So the difference between the spiritualist movement and where we are now, like what's next?
Yeah, there was actually a school here in Wisconsin up north. It's like, I don't know, an hour from me, half hour or whatever. That was mediums and mediumship and all that stuff. There was actually a building that they back in the day when the spiritualist movement was active, you know, there were certain areas around the United States and even in Europe that did take wholeheartedly into it. And there were groups of society, high society people that if you had money, you know, you could do it. You know, they built buildings and they had this, they had that, you know what I mean? So it was kind of like, wasn't just so much, I guess, about the spiritualist movement. It was about popularity.
Yeah.
And at that time, back in the early 1900s, if you were anything of stature and you were, oh, she's a medium or he's a medium or something like that, you know, and these high society people were just enthralled with this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now.
Yeah, the issue with that is it's how much of a show can you put on? You know, if I can act and I can put on a show. And you know, versus now, I mean, you do have the people that do that, but there are also the people that are just like, hey, your mom's with you.
Right.
And that's it. I mean, there's no flair to it. And it's sometimes that's comforting because that's what people need.
Right. And I think a lot of it's with the way the world is now and even in the last 50 years. Yeah. You know, I think now people are tired. And people just want some comforting news, you know. There are people out there that are the thrill seekers and this and that. And, you know, that a lot of it has to do with, you know, with the whole ghost hunting and, you know, all this other stuff. And people want jump scares and all that. And I get that. You know, if that's what you grew up watching on TV and you want to do that, more power to you. You know, but it's kind of like, you know, but with you and I mean, yeah, I can be scared. You know what I mean? I can go into an abandoned hospital or whatever, which I wouldn't prefer, but even going into a live hospital is rough for me, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, and that is where not so much that I want to be scared or get the jump scares, because I'm not into that, because I'm kind of used to that. And so it's not to say that I can't be scared, but if I'm scared, it's usually because of the fact that I have too many entities or too much energy or frequencies surrounding me that's causing me grief. You know what I mean? And that is, don't know which, where it's coming from. And it just makes me feel uncomfortable. And then you get that fight or flight mode. And then it's so, yeah. So it's not so much going to a haunted house when you were a kid, you know, when you go to a amusement park or go to a haunted house or whatever for Halloween and people jump out and scare the crap out of you. It's not that type of scare for me. I mean, I've done it, and you know, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't, not something, one of my favorite things to do back then, but yeah. But I mean, it's just when people who like the jump scares and like that, you know, usually go to fake haunted houses for Halloween and experience. And that's great. If that's your thing, that's your thing. It's not really my thing, but I'd rather go to a real haunted house and try to communicate or try to find out what is there and if they need help with something or if they're, you know, if there's a message to be told or something like that. You know what I mean? So that's, that's more, well,
I think,
or less,
that's the difference between someone who speaks to the dead or speaks to entities. Like, that's the big difference, because they're, you know, Halloween is all about hiding from the bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to dress up like this or that to hide from them. Well, for us, we don't really hide because our light is always seen.
Yeah. Yep. I've had mine seen way too much. And yeah, it's kind of like, you can't really dummy it down, but we could still protect ourselves and this and that, which I do every day, every morning, actually. So, but so, I mean, there's different, you know, going back a little bit to the whole, you know, regression or the past lives. There are so many different stories about that. And it's kind of like, you know, I would love to be able to have somebody on our show that could actually give credence to one of their stories or something like that. And we can, you know, post questions to that person that we, you know, we ask on here that we don't really have answers for. And we can't, you know, we can only, you know, have a theory about, but, you know, kind of like, you know, talking with people with NDEs, near death experiences, you know, unless you can read the person's book, but I mean, I'd rather talk to the person and get their emotional state to try to figure out what they were feeling when they were going through that at that very time and very moment, you know? So
for me, it's more of like what do they believe now? You know, if someone has that experience and they see nothing and it's just dark and then all of a sudden they're back, you know, then it's, okay, so what does that mean? Versus someone who's like, oh yeah, I met all of these people and then I decided I wasn't done yet, so I came back.
Right.
You know?
And a lot of that, the past, like the NDEs are similar, but I don't think they're completely the same, because everybody's individual, everybody has different experiences and whatnot, but, you know, it's kind of the same thing with, you know, reincarnation. You know, everybody's story is different. It's similar, but it's just, it's not the same. You know, it's just, it's when you run into certain, you know, people or children guided by their parents saying, you need to say this and say this and say that. And then I'm like, wait, where have I heard that story before? You know what I mean? So, I mean, like I said, it's out there. You just have to kind of be mindful of the people that are kind of peddling some of those stories. But it also goes back to even ghost hunting. People going to haunted locations and peddle all the, this is what happened here, this is what happened this time, and da, 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 da. And then that kind of, that story kind of transcends down the line. And then people exaggerate it and make it more than what it was. And then you can hear the same story, but in this other person's story, it says this person didn't have a head when they saw this person. You know what I mean? I mean, so when they saw this spirit, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, So you really also have to kind of do your research to find what the truth is. And that's part of, you know, being in the paranormal, being in like even ghost hunting or investigating paranormal locations, you know, do your research and make sure that, you know, you may hear 100 different stories, but find the one that you think that is going to, you know, by finding the proof somehow with the story. You know, people go into locations all the time and say, well, they heard the story of this person that floats by this doorway all the time and this and that, and knocks on the wall 3 times, and then, you know, that's what they're expecting. And it's kind of like, I would rather go in open-minded and not hear any of the stories and then formulate what I have heard or what I have saw. And they can say, well, didn't you see this or didn't see this? And you could be honest, this is what I saw, this is what I heard. You know what I mean? So stories are great. You know, legends are plentiful. You know, people love to tell stories about haunted locations, which is great, you know. But bring some truth to that. You know, there's got to be a good amount of truth that can be brought to some of these locations, you know. And
well, I think it's great to be curious about the unknown.
Right.
And I think a lot of that comes with that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah. They hear all these stories and they want to find out for themselves. It's like, well, that's fine. Then do the research, you know.
Yeah.
Just don't go to a place and say it's haunted when nothing happens, you know. You can't. That's kind of falling into that trap of, dare I say, listen to the mainstream media all the time. Because you can't do that, you know. So, but yeah, it's formulate your own opinion and, you know, your own experience and create your own stories that you've experienced. Don't make shit up. Just don't. You know, it's not a popularity test or popularity.
Yeah, like a contest. So one of the things that I found in this article, right? And I found this really interesting, was the thought that some past lives, the way that you can tell is if they have a birthmark, and that birthmark coincides with how the person before them died.
Really?
So this one specifically, there was a University of Virginia scientist or psychologist, I can't remember, from the 1960s. And there was a person who said that their name was Maha Ram, and they died from a shotgun fired into the chest. So this kid had a birthmark that looked like a gunshot wound.
Oh, wow.
And so they went and they found the history of the Maha Ram, and they found his records, his death records, found his autopsy, and the birthmark matched his wounds.
Oh, wow.
From when he was shot in the chest. So, like, that's another one of those things. Like, that to me says that in this life, you have imprinted physically the trauma of that life.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a type of physical evidence in order to corroborate it.
Right.
So, and how else do you explain it? Like, oh, just random, looks like a gunshot wound, and it's not like it wasn't tattooed on him or anything, you know?
Well, and that there too is, if, you know, you find with somebody who's, you know, claims to be reincarnated, you know, and you find out how they died, it's like, do you have a birthmark? You know, I mean, that's a good question to ask, I guess, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
does everybody have is that what everybody's birthmark is?
I don't know. I mean, it's a theory, but then scientists say it's just because, you know, something happened in the womb that created it, but something like that on your chest in that specific shape, what possibly could have happened that would cause that and then be able to
match that up with that man's life? Right.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, that would be something too, you know, and it kind of makes you wonder, you know, and Huh, that's a pretty cool theory. I'd like to try to find out somebody that would know a little bit more about that theory, but that would be really pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
So there's so many different aspects, talking about regression, talking about, you know, past lives and regression and reincarnation. And we talked about 9/11. We talked about, you know, the theories on ghost hunting and, you know, behaviors in that way and seances. I mean, we covered quite a bit. So I think, you know, and it's an hour already. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, this episode's been fun. We're going to close it up for the evening. I hope everybody has a fantastic, holiday weekend. Happy Memorial Day. My birthday is on Monday. So my birthday actually falls on Memorial Day this year, which is nice. So yeah, I'm 27. I'm just kidding. No.
I believe you.
I wish. But yeah, that's the way I view myself. I probably will to the day I die. So yeah. But yeah, so anybody that wants to check out this episode, you can check this out on Encompass Media. It's under 32. That'll be the show that is under Encompass Media. And check out my other episodes of different shows I have on there, and see what you like. Yep, and this is, you know, we're on YouTube and, you know, TikTok, and we're everywhere. So, but yeah, so our future episode is going to have our guest on Tuesday. I will be releasing his name and what he does. And actually, I will say that he's an author, and he's written a really good book about a little bit about some of the topics we talked about this evening. And so I'm looking forward to that. So on that note, I think that it's time to exit. And Elizabeth, you have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you. You too. Happy birthday.
Yes. Thank you so much.